coming back to the East. He's coming to get his chase. I wouldn't want to be here when he comes to the East. Because things that might not be too good during the tribulation period. And so at this time, we extend the invitation. There may be somebody who need to get on the Lord's side. You may come, my letter, candidate for baptism, a Christian experience. And somebody might say, well, you know, look like you all know we all saved. I don't know that. You know, I don't. And so I have to extend the invitation. Whether you saved or not, whether I know it, the only somebody know you saved is you. You don't know if I'm saved. The only somebody know is me. And so we want to extend the invitation because, you know, Jesus said, everybody who said unto me, Lord, Lord, don't belong to me. He said, in that last day, many will say, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name, done a whole lot of wonderful works? And the worst words that anybody will ever hear is away from me.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome word of God next week at the same time. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting. All day.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
They find themselves as slaves in Egypt. And after many years, 400 plus years, the Lord delivered them. And they find themselves leaving Egypt. Guess what? God raised up another man by the name Moses to lead them to their promised land. So we had what we call Exodus from Egypt. And the people of God now, they're heading to their promised land. And then you remember how God was trying to fix the situation. And he gave them 10 commandments. He said, if you guys can just keep these 10 commandments, things will work out. And then, of course, you know they broke the commandments. And eventually Moses died. And then we have Joshua. And then eventually, Joshua died. Then we have judges, 6 different judges. Eventually, they all died. Then we begin to have the kings because the people say, no, we're tired of all these preachers. We want a king. We want to be like other nations. And you will recall the first king was Mr. Saul. After King Saul, then we have King David. The Bible is really not difficult. You can literally follow it and see the chain, how one thing leads to the other. After King David was King Solomon. And then after King Solomon was a gentleman by the name Rehoboam. And Rehoboam fooled around and got the country divided into 2. Now we have northern Israel and we have southern Israel. The capital of northern Israel was in Samaria. the capital of southern Israel, was in Jerusalem. And ladies and gentlemen, then there were a series of prophets. God was sending different people to make sure he keeps the people of God on track, in line. And then after a while, since the people are so far gone and so messed up, for hundreds of years, God was silent. And then God, in his grace and mercy, decided to send a Savior in the person of Jesus Christ. Now you see how, from the creation, how we got to Jesus. And the Bible says Jesus went about preaching and teaching, and of course he was healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. Then you would think things would get better. But no, they rammed him and they killed him. You would think the person that is feeding you, that is healing you, that is teaching you about God, you want to preserve that person. No, they killed him. But before Jesus died, we came to the book of John, chapter 16, which I read to you today. And Jesus told his disciples, he said, John chapter 16, verse 7, he said to his disciples, let me tell you the truth. Well, what is the truth, Jesus? He said to them, it's important that I go away. If I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. But if you understand that I need to go away, when I go away, I promise you, I will send him. So who is this Comforter? Who is this Holy Spirit that Jesus is saying is coming? Ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are in theology, especially you ministers here, you need to know the study of the Holy Spirit is what we call pneumatology. That word pneuma simply means wind or breath or spirit. But a lot of people misunderstand that. When we talk about the Holy Spirit as wind, as breath, as spirit, so the thing is some kind of force out there. Something that would just come upon. But really, the Holy Spirit is a person. Just like I'm looking at you now. You see, people we often call my daughter Jessie. Jessie is the last born. But a lot of people believe Jessie is so close to me, they will call her the heart of our father. But that don't mean that Jessie is a heart. Jesse is a human being. He's a person. You can shake her hand. You can see her run. You can see her laugh. You can see her make jokes. The same thing with the Holy Spirit. Just because we describe him as a dove, that don't mean he's a bird flying around. Just because we call him wind, or we call him breath, that's just a description. You need to get it in your spirit that the Holy Spirit is a person. And again, you see in the text I just read to you today, John chapter 16, verse 13. The Bible could not be clearer as to who we're talking about. He said, howbeit when he, does that sound like a wind? Does that sound like a breath or some kind of force out there? When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you. Can you read? He will guide you and me unto all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. So you can see six times. Sometimes I wonder where people's mind are. Why is it so difficult to comprehend something so simple? And yet when you hear a lot of singing, they will talk about the Holy Spirit as an it, if it comes. There is no scripture to suggest all those religious misunderstandings. So the first thing I want you to get in your spirit, when I ask the question, who is the Holy Spirit? You need to know he is a person. And you're going to meet him today. That's why the Lord sent me here. Please take note that in many churches, he is unknown. Take note that in many churches, he is unwanted. Every time he show up, they cut it off. They say, sir, you're not welcome here. He might show up in our singing. He might show up in our prayer. He might show up in our worship. And then somebody will say, oh, no, we don't want that mercy. And in many churches, he is being misunderstood. I've been to places and everybody just shaking. And they said, that's the Holy Spirit. And it was my time to preach. I said, you all need to calm down. So the Holy Spirit, he is not a dove, he is not wind, he is not breath. Those are descriptions of his activities. He is the word that the Bible describes as the Holy Spirit. In this series, we're going to learn about his person. We're going to learn about his position. And we're going to learn about his role. His person, his position, his role. Let's start out by learning about his person. Ladies and gentlemen, Romans chapter 8, verse 27 says, he has his own mind, just like you have a mind. The book of John, chapter 16, verse 13 says, he can speak. Not only does he have mind, he speaks, just like I'm speaking to you now. The book of John, chapter 14, verse 26 says, he can teach. Bible says he will teach you all things. He has a mind. He speaks. He teaches. in the book of Acts chapter 20, verse 23, the Bible says he can testify. You know, from time to time, churches will have testimonial service. The Holy Spirit can testify. In John chapter 15, verse 26, the Bible says he bear witness. If you ever go to the courthouse, you see witnesses. Ladies and gentlemen, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 63, verse 10, it says he can be grieved. In other words, he has feelings, just like you have feelings. Has people ever hurt your feeling? You bet you. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. And unfortunately, many churches, they do just that. Many individuals, they grieve him. And wherever he's not welcome, he will walk out. We're trying to learn about his person. In Acts chapter 5, verse 3, we see that he can be lied to. And you'd be amazed how many people lie to the Holy Spirit. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? They came, and the preacher, when they brought only a portion of what belongs to them, it was time to give. The preacher, discerning, the preacher said to them, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? He can be lied to. Ladies and gentlemen, so I'm saying to you, the Holy Spirit is not it as religion. We want to rob you of understanding. The Holy Spirit is a person. What about his position? You need to know, according to Scripture, he is one of the Godheads. You probably have heard the term God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So it's one of those three. Is the same God that manifests himself in flesh and manifests himself in spirit. Acts chapter 5, verse 3 again. You see, I told you, the preacher said to Mr. and Mrs. Ananias, you lied to the Holy Spirit. And in verse 4 of that same chapter 5, Acts chapter 5, verse number 4. Again, he said, you have not lied to men, you have lied to God. So he referred to the Holy Spirit as God. First, he told them, you lied to the Holy Spirit. And the next phrase said, you've not lied to men. Don't think you fooled me as a preacher. You've lied to God. The Holy Spirit is God. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, many of you Baptists, you understand this very well. How Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Again, you see him there. He is one of the Godhead. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, you will go to church many times, and when it's time to do benediction, the preacher will say, the grace of our Lord and Savior. You see, they're talking about Jesus Christ. Then they will go on to say, the love of God. They're talking about the Father. Then they will say, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. You see, all three of them is being referenced. Who is the Holy Spirit? The best way to understand him is what I describe as Jesus Unlimited. is the Holy Spirit, the Lord without any limit. And that is why you need to know him. I need to know him. All of us here need to know him. So what is his role? Brother Pastor, if you want me to know him, ladies and gentlemen, you need to know that God operates in order, in system. Actually, you need to be operating in order, in a system. In my house, we have a system in place. In your house, you have a system. Every now and then, people will ask me, what is the structure of this church? And I will tell them, the structure is so obvious, unless you close your eyes, you can see it. Everywhere you go, there is a structure. It may not be a good structure, but there is a structure. Like in my house, for example, believe it or not, I don't pay any bills. I don't say that to put myself down. My job is to make money. Elizabeth's job is to pay all the bills. She's better in handling money than I do. I don't remember the last time I paid a bill in my life. The day I met her, and I noticed that she's better than me in this area in handling finances, that's your job. So every family has a system, has a role. There's a role for the mother, there's a role for the daddy, there's a role for the husband, there's a role for the wife. You don't even need to be fighting each other. You just need to know who does what. I'm trying to help somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, what is the role of the Holy Spirit? Well, the Bible is full of evidence. You remember during creation, the Bible says in the beginning God created heaven and earth. That's Genesis 1 and 1. But verse number 2, Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, they said the earth was without form. There was darkness in the midst of the deep. It was chaotic. And the Bible said that Spirit, this Holy Spirit, he moved. Now you begin to see his role. Nothing was made without him moving. Pastors, your church cannot grow without the Holy Spirit. Ministers, listen to your pastor. I'm taking my time to bless every one of you. Parents, your children cannot prosper without the Holy Spirit. Until the Holy Spirit moves in your life, nothing. The Bible says, except the Lord build the house, everyone that labors, labors in vain. When the Spirit moved, not until the Spirit moved, that God began to really take action. After the Spirit moved, then God said, let there be. Let there be light. Let there be firmament. And everything God said thereafter, it happens. What is the role of the Holy Spirit? You will see him again. When Mary was about to give birth, and Mary said, how am I going to be pregnant without a man? And then they said, here comes the Holy Spirit again. The angel said to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Again, you see the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to show you his role. He's always in action. We just not paying attention, or we have no understanding of who he is. But for the Holy Spirit, Mary could not be pregnant. Impossible. We see his role again during the baptism of Jesus Christ. Jesus was an ordinary man until God anointed him. He went down in the water. The Bible says as he come out, the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, you need to know his role. He has a role in your life. He has a role in my life. He has a role in the life of this church. He has a role in the life of this city. He has a role in the life of this state. He has a role in the life of this nation. Until we get hold of him, nothing will work. They said the Spirit, like a dove, came upon him. And immediately the heavens were open. And then they heard a voice. This is my man. This is him. In whom I'm well pleased. What is the role of the Holy Spirit? Again, you see him in the upper room. After Jesus had been crucified, after Jesus resurrected and ascended into heaven, he told all those disciples, he said, please, let me tell you something. You don't stand a chance in ministry. Don't preach to nobody. You can get a big Bible, put a big gold cross on your neck. The devil will slaughter you. Go to Jerusalem. Find you a room and wait for Mr. Holy Spirit. Without him, you don't stand a chance. Ladies and gentlemen, you see him when he showed up. Everybody was filled with the Holy Spirit. So I'm saying to you, God has a system. God the Father has a role. God the Son has a role. God the Holy Spirit has a role. Say, for example, if you study the Word of God very carefully, many times the Father does the decreeing, the speaking. And the Son does the execution. Jesus is the one that get the job done. And the Holy Spirit is the one that fueled, that powered. See, I drive an SUV, Cadillac Escalade, with big extension. That machine will go nowhere without the fuel. As big and fancy as it looks, cannot move an inch without fuel. Ladies and gentlemen, the Father decrees it, the Son executed it, the Holy Spirit empowered it. Even during your healing, during my healing, the Father wills it. The Son does it. The Holy Spirit manifests it. Everybody has their own role. And you got to understand how you need to know your own role in the church, in your home, in the community. There are many things that goes on in this town that I don't get involved. That's not my role. One of my pastors, Pastor Jovian, preached several years ago. He said, run in your own lane. So the Holy Spirit has his own lane. Jesus the Son has his own name. God the Father has his own lane. Imagine a building. Because we build a lot of new buildings in this church, you know. See God, the Father, as the designer. See, this building don't come about until somebody first designed it. God, the Son, is the contractor that will build it. But the contractor has nothing to build until God the Father designed what to build. The Holy Spirit is who put the finishing touch to it. After the building is up, somebody got to come and put the lights and put the speakers and put the paint and put the chandelier. He finished it. Until that is done, you don't have a building. I like that. He said, you got a shell. Even during our redemption, ladies and gentlemen, when we were all messed up, God thought about our redemption. Jesus Christ bought the redemption. And the Holy Spirit is now teaching us about the redemption we got. The Father thought about it. The Son bought it. The Holy Spirit taught it. Everybody got a role. Ladies and gentlemen, who is this Holy Spirit? John said long time ago, I baptize you with water. And I do this for your repentance. He said, but don't stop there. Somebody is coming after me whose sand I cannot even carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Who is the Holy Spirit? Jesus said concerning him, I tell you, when he was getting ready to leave, he said, I'm out. But I will not leave you comfortless. Then he said, it's important that I go away. If I don't go, he will not come. But when I leave, be assured I'm going to send him to you. So we know, ladies and gentlemen, we know that he is a person. We also know from the word of God that he was coming. And then we also know from the scripture that in that upper room, there were 120 people, and he did show up. The Holy Spirit showed up, and all of them were filled. But guess what the secret is? They waited for him. Many of us don't have the Holy Spirit because we don't even have the common sense to wait for him. Never will forget it. One day, I was down in Africa, and somebody, it's not uncommon, to be honest with you, I say this with utmost humility, before I wake up in the morning, people will line up in front of my house. They need help. And so they will come one by one. Where my child is in school, can you help me? I say, okay, here's the money. Another one will come where my husband is sick. I want to go to the hospital. I cannot afford it. So that's the routine. Sometimes, I mean, it's so bad that I have to put a gate man. I fence my house around and put a gate man. And so you have to first deal with him, and then he will what y'all call that? He will call me. To say, Mr. So-so-so is here. Should I let him in? Well, one day, somebody was waiting for me, and I slept a little long. But I noticed something about this man. He stayed right there. He refused to leave. Well, they said, They say, our guy is sleeping today. Our guy means, I don't want to say the English version. That's what you all call massa. They say, he's sleeping. He can't see you today. This man stay. He said, if I have to stay here 24 hours. When I did get up, when I found out that he's been waiting all these hours, see, it don't matter what he wanted. It's done. What qualified him for the blessing? He had enough sense. America, why are you rushing? You can't even stay in church 1 hour to worship God. You can't even stay on your knees 10 minutes to pray. We can't get you to focus on God just for 5 minutes. Your mind is wandering all the place. They that wait upon the Lord, am I still in the book? They will renew their strength. Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, please take note. No one has monopoly on the person of the Holy Spirit. That's another foolishness that's going on. Some people will go around and say, only the Pentecostal got it. How stupid they are. Some will say, only the Koji got it. Oh, Pastor, I got to go visit the Koji so I can experience the Holy Spirit. And I'm looking at him and say, Jesus, help me. Ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit will manifest himself. He will find himself. You can find him among the Pentecostals. You can find him among the Baptists. You can find him among the Methodists. You can find him among Koji. I mean, wherever he is welcome, he will show up. In fact, Jesus said the Holy Spirit is with every believer. Not only is he with every believer, he will fill you if you let him. He also moves in the midst of congregation. He will even slay you in the spirit if you let him. On the side note, the power of the Holy Spirit is the most important power on earth. You know, the President of the United States has a lot of power. Trust me. It is nothing comparable to the power of the Holy Spirit. So how, some people will say, why do I need the Holy Spirit? I just give you one reason. You need him for power. When you run out, you have extra. You have super on your natural. You need him. You need direction. I need direction. Many times I'm tired, can't even go forward no more. But then I call the Holy Spirit, and then he give me a boost. Ladies and gentlemen, so how do I get him to visit me? How do I get him in my life? How do I get him in my family? Pay attention to this, because I want to close on this note. Number one, you have to be hungry. What did I say you need to do? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Those people shall be filled. Many people in the church are empty of the Holy Spirit. They act, they fake it, they play religion, emotionalism, but I ain't the Holy Spirit. Number one, learn to wait on him. Amen. I remember when Elizabeth and I, we were in courtship. I'm here in America, she's in Africa. And she was getting up in age, the certain age that people get married in Africa, you know. And she was calling me and bugging me. We got to get married now. And I said, shut up! I don't have time for marriage now. I'm in school. How you going to marry me? I ain't got no job. Where you going to live? I'm trying to help somebody. I say, if you wait, I'll come get you. But if you cannot wait, find you another man. God is my witness. He's the authority. And then they start to tell her rumors. They said, okay, Joshua then got married to an American. They said he got 3 kids. And then they would tell her this. I tell her the same thing. Dad, I wait. Sister Grace is a blessed woman now. She had no need in her life. You know her secret? She learned to wait. She could have believed the lies. She was shocked when she got to America. She was looking for the children. I ain't got no children. I was pursuing a goal. I had a vision. I had a dream. Learn to wait. Number two, you need to get hungry. You got to be hungry. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying to take my time. The next thing you need to learn to do, you have to learn to surrender to him. That's right. You got to yield. Can you imagine a nurse trying to give you an injection in your arm and you're shaking, you're moving? Well, at some point the nurse will say, maybe you need to go home. You have to yield. Yield to the Holy Spirit. But we're too busy yielding to temptations. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 also tells you what we need to do. You say, as many as are led by the Spirit. Take note, if someone's going to lead you, you got to be willing to follow. Ain't nobody leading if there's nobody following. People will ask me, how you do all these things, Zion Hill? I say, it's very simple. I have a bunch of people who believe in my ministry, my vision, and they follow. I don't even have to be there. They know what to do. They know why we're doing it. They know where we're going, and they do it. The same thing with the Holy Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons and daughters of God. When are you going to let him lead you? And if he show up to lead you, will you allow him to follow? You need to follow him. If you want him, wait on him. If you want him, get hungry for him. If you want him, surrender or yield to him. If you want him, be ready to follow him all the way. On the day of Pentecost, everybody got filled. You know why? Because they yield. Many people say, I want the power. I see you're singing, you say, I want the power, the Holy Ghost power. But you can receive it. But let me tell you, you have to pay a price. Preachers, you better listen to your pastor. Many of you had no anointing because you're not willing to pay the price. What is the price? It ain't cheap either. And you cannot bargain your way out of it. Now I understand. After experiencing, I understand what David was talking about when he said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I'll be honest with you, I'm not afraid of the devil. If you hang around me long enough, you notice that already. You know why I'm not afraid of the devil? Because I can use the same weapon Jesus used on him. It is written. It is written. When you know your word, the devil cannot surprise you. But one thing I'm afraid of is not to grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want him to remove his hand on me. I don't want his anointing to depart from me. I tell you all the time, I say it again, you see the glory, but you really don't know the story. Very few people can see the price that you have to pay. Ministry is not all this fancy stuff. Anybody can get up here and run their mouth. It's the anointing, the power that is behind it. They don't come without a price. David said, you can take everything else from me. Take my car. Take my house. Take anything you want. Take the clothes. But please don't take the Holy Spirit from me. Without the Holy Spirit, I know I'm just an ordinary man with no power, empty, nothing to offer my generation. What is the message? The secret of true power, ladies and gentlemen, is the Holy Spirit. It's not your title, it's not your position. It's the Holy Spirit. What is my message to you? There's more to just singing. Singing without the Holy Spirit is just empty noise. Preaching without the Holy Spirit is just empty noise. Whatever you do in Christ, even your career, don't worth a dime without the Holy Spirit. Your business, don't want to die without the Holy Spirit. You cannot even raise your children without the help of the Holy Spirit. The problem is that people want this power, but they don't want to pay the price. The problem is some things are more important to people than the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me say this. In closing, Matthew chapter 16, verse 23, Jesus said it, if any man will come after me, guess what you need to do? Deny yourself. That's right, Pastor. Guess what else you need to do? Pick up your cross. Follow me. I want to pray with somebody before we close. Maybe you're here today. You say, yes, I need him. Pastor, thank you for straight talk. I really want to go forward. In in his power. I want him to show me how to live, show me how to talk, show me how to walk. I want promotion on my job. I tell people all the time, you don't have to kiss up to nobody. You don't have to join no clique. When the Holy Spirit opened that for you, ain't no devil can stop it. And if you're here today and you say, yeah, I need just that. I'm not going to ask anybody to close their eyes. I'm not going to ask anybody to bow their head. The Lord has delivered me from all those religious stupidity. If you want this man, this person in your life, find your, stand up wherever you are. I just want to pray for you right now. Stand up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about consecration now. You know what I'm talking about? Death to self. Death to self. It's like I'm inviting you to a funeral. The day I discovered this is what I need, all labor was gone in my life. I will tell you from time to time, call me Baptist if you want, call me Methodist, call me whatever you want. The most important thing, the Holy Spirit. Without him, I am amazed how empty I am. How nothing to offer. Without him, I will fail. Without God, my life will be nothing. I've been just like a sheep without a sin. Father, in the name that is above every name, Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence. Somebody here is hungry for you. Touch us. Come into our life. Glorify yourself in our business, in our ministry, in our calling, in our homes. We cannot be a parent without you. Have your way, Lord. Search our heart right now. Somebody is so hungry. We need you, Lord. We really do. We need you. Feed us. Our spirit is thirsty for you. We are longing for you. We are tired of religion. We tried it, don't get us nowhere. We need the real deal. Have your way in our lives. Have your way in our marriage. Have your way in our ministry. Have your way in our business. Have your way on our job, in our career. Have your way, oh God, in every area of our life. We surrender all to you. forgive us where we messed up, create in us a clean heart, renew your right spirit within us. Like David would say, cast not away. Don't cast us away from your presence. Please don't take your Holy Spirit from us. Restore unto us. Somebody used to be happy. Somebody used to be outgoing. Somebody used to be excited. Restoration. Restore unto us, oh God. The joy of thy salvation. Renew the right spirit within us. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Come on, give the Lord.